Welcome to the Learning, Love and Wisdom podcast. Today we are going to extract out the wisdom of this beautiful man, Jack Nesbitt. We're sitting in his very fresh, new... When did you get this place?
January.
Wow. 2023, starting it off with a new gym. I actually did we did our personal training course together, 7 years ago.
Fuck. Crazy, man.
7 years ago, yeah. So we've been kind of, going back and forth, seeing each other sort of grow, go our own sort of directions, which is awesome. And we've had him on the show before. So welcome back to the show, Jack Nesbitt.
Thank you, man.
You're clapping for yourself.
Thanks, guys.
We got a live audience. Yeah, what's been going on, man?
Oh, man.
How are things?
Everything's been going on. Yeah, so opened this in January, like you said. Got the keys in December, and it was basically like 4 weeks of just complete madness trying to set it up. So I was like, cool, set myself the date, January 9th, we're opening, we're starting sessions on that day. So get myself, 3-4 weeks to set it up. Had a lot of delays in equipment coming, delays in, things getting finished. And it was pretty much like, I remember New Year's Day, didn't have a big one, but it was my 30th, the day before. And then the next day I'm here at 7 a.m. lugging all the weights in and starting to set it up. It was absolutely wild. So that was pretty crazy. And ever since then, man, it's just been chipping away, just trying to find my routine and, really build this out and try and really create it to where I want to be with this gym and the sort of vision that I have for it in the future. So that's where all my energy is going at the moment. So
that's awesome. So I said, I introduced you with saying you have a gym. What's your kind of specialty inside that? What's the purpose of this gym, really? What do you do?
What I do, really, it's specialized strength training is what I like to refer it as. It's taking into account a lot of different styles of training, mostly like concepts of powerlifting and biomechanics. And then throwing in like, I'm not going to say bodybuilding stuff, but real hypertrophy training.
I think muscle building.
Yeah, muscle building. And people go, it's like bodybuilding.
I don't want to be big and bulky.
It's not that at all, it's more of just like teaching people how to lift properly and get the most from that movement and build confidence under a bar, and build confidence in themselves and creating a community around that is really what I try and focus on, because I really feel like getting people lifting in the gym, lifting heavy, builds a lot of confidence in them just generally, and they can carry that over into their lives, and take it with them, whether it's in career and their families and their friends or who they are as a person, and how those sort of concepts they learn in strength training can really carry on through to who they become in the future. So it seems very deep for just lifting weights, but there's so much to it that I really believe that there is, and that's why I've really honed in on this sort of training for like the last 3 years, because I just feel like the benefits are just crazy,
so. It's why, because I have a bit of a bias towards the strength training. I'm with you. Now I'm not saying that the F45s and the beat, like all those high intensity cardio kind of things, they don't work, because they do. But I think the problem is that very stressed people do these things, and it's just creating a lot more stress. And you might lose weight in 8 weeks, but after 8 weeks, the benefits kind of taper off. But strength is like, you can just do it every day, a strength routine, basically.
It's a forever
thing. And just continue to grow, which is why I love how you linked it to the other areas of, if it's your career or your family or some golf or whatever it is. It's that constant increase in weight, in challenge and stress that helps you to grow, rather than too much stress, too much overwhelm, which I'm sure everyone can relate to in whatever area, if it's your career or family or you've opened your own gym. So what's that journey been like from personal trainer, because you're a chef, personal trainer course, personal trainer home gym to now gym, and anything I'm missing. What have the highs and the lows been through that?
Just a give nice 6-year journey.
Summarize the 7-year wisdom.
Well, yeah, started off as a chef, 6 years qualified, and then decided I want to be a PT. Did my PT course, worked in a commercial gym at like a Good Life.
Yep.
Did that, realized that I didn't want to do 50, 60 sessions a week one-on-one. It was burning me the hell out.
And paying you a ridiculous amount of rent.
Amount of rent. I was earning good money, but it was just my brain was just melting day by day, and I was just slowly going downhill. I was like, something's going to change, you know? So,
Which is a pattern that I want to keep bringing up throughout this podcast. If you're watching or listening, it's that getting burnt out, getting sick of it, getting a bit complacent. And what was that? What is that feeling for you? It's like, I'm too stressed. I'm not doing what I like. What's that thing in your head that's making you?
I think just that being like being burnt out. I think it's like going, I don't have capacity for anything right now. Like, I'm pushing myself constantly to the limit. I'm leaving nothing to myself. Like, I was seeing like 10 different people every day. You know, giving all my energy to them, and they were putting all their shit on me, which is sometimes part of the job, as you
would know. That's when you make them do burpees.
Yeah. Shut up. Get down.
All right, Karen, that's enough. Time's up.
Yeah. But I was finding that it was so focused on business and other people, and nothing was really towards me. And that's when my training started to suffer, and my relationship started to suffer, and all these things around me kind of started to fall apart. You know, I wasn't getting anything done outside of that. I was very unorganized, that sort of thing, because I was putting all that energy into that. So over time, my capacity for things just got less and less and less. And I just started going downhill, and, you know, I'd get halfway through the day and be absolutely wrecked, you know, or I'd start to get uninspired. Like, I'd rock up to session with clients. I'm like, oh, I really don't want to do this. Where
that's the worst.
At the start, I was like, let's go. Like, I just want to bring up people and work with people, help people. And I was constantly learning. Like, I remember when I was a Good Life, like, I would be with the only person, one of the only people that would stay there all day.
Yep.
All the other PTs would go home, and I'd stay there during my break and do programming for all my clients. And I'd program people like every week, like different stuff. And I'd sit there going through every single client. And I noticed it really hard when I started to, like, when I just stopped programming people, and I was like, no, I'm just going to start making up sessions. And that was the place I never wanted to go to, because I was so against it. And I was like, no, I'm going to start, I'm going to start winging half of these sessions. So some people I'd have programmed, and then other people I'd just like, no, I'll just make it up. And that's the PC I never wanted to become.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't really get you anywhere, right? You're like, you give people a good workout. Anyone can fucking do that. Just go do 100 burpees. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that's when I found, I was like, I really felt that kind of burnout come into it.
Okay. So then you're getting burnt out at Good Life, and then you made that first kind of monumental
decision. Yeah, that shift, I think. I learned to really, I went and did a course that really helped me understand what I do now, which is group strength training.
Okay.
And
what was that course?
It was called Metabolic Precision.
Okay.
Really good course, great community, and just learned a whole bunch of stuff. I opened my eyes massively to a lot of opportunities and how I could help people more, but more from a place where I wasn't feeling like I was burnt out, and I could actually focus on myself as well as, create a business and community where I could help a lot more people. So I took what I learned there with the group stuff, and I was like, this is what I want to create. Like, I don't want to work 60 hours a week. Like, I want to work like 30 hours a week and be able to have a life.
It's not that you don't want to work 60 hours a week, because you put in the hours and the work, but I don't think it's you don't feel it's the most efficient way you could be doing things.
Correct.
I want to work as in work on getting equipment and setting up the gym and, you know, making getting some marketing to get more people and build a community and all, which is still work.
Yeah.
But it's like, I don't want to be under these bright lights with a new like hamster wheel person coming through every freaking 45 minutes.
Yeah, it was like 60 face-to-face hours. Like, there was no actual anything behind the scenes. Like, it was all that face-to-face. So I wanted to have something where I was like, okay, I want to have minimal face-to-face hours where I can give people 100% and give people the service that they deserve, and then still be able to do all the other stuff behind the scene, like give value on social media and get myself out there and train myself effectively, all those sort of things.
That's work.
It is work.
That's your business. 100%. That's your entire brand. That's exactly who you are, and that's how you get people results. If you're not doing the freaking work, how can you expect your clients to do it?
Exactly right. Yeah. You know, and I think that's why people get caught up and go, oh, PTs don't really do anything. It's just like, well, they're there in the session, but like 80% of the work is done behind the scenes. You know,
dude, I just got fucking goosebumps because that is so true. It's like you literally, and this sounds a bit metaphysical, but like you are kind of paying for their presence. Like you're paying to be like, soak up that energy and get more of that vibe to sort of get some of that inspiration and be like, you know what? Like I hang out with you. I'm like, I want to grow my business. That's fucking sick.
It's good. It's awesome. That's what I want.
So, yeah.
Yeah. So, learned all that stuff and was like, cool, this is where I want to go. I can't do this here, so I need to leave. And the goal was when I started, I really wanted to open a studio. So I just kind of built up the guts. I was working with a coach at the time who gave me that confidence.
Yeah.
And I was just like, screw it. And I just chucked in my notice. I gave three months and I was like, I had no clients at the new place. And I was like, I'm just committing. I'm moving 40 minutes away from where I am.
You had zero.
I had clients where I was at the community.
Yeah, yeah, but none obviously lived in Mount Barker.
So I needed 3 months to basically start getting my name out there in Mount Barker because I just moved up here.
Just moved up here too.
So I just moved with the last few months and then so I knew no one. And I was like, cool, I'm going to get myself out here in 3 months and build a business. So I just did. I had some people move over with me that came up the hill for a little while and then basically built it up from there. So in the new house that we bought, I just built a little double garage that we had in the house. I just turned into a gym.
Yep.
Literally had one rack that had a lat pull down and cable machine in it. I had like a handful of like the screw on dumbbells, like those. That was it.
Oh my God.
And started training people out there. Started doing the small group stuff, like two or three at a time, you know, and built it up from there. Was doing classes outdoors, like cardio classes out in the park, you know, like rented a park space, rented a school at one point and do like 3-4 sessions a week out in the school, big cardio classes. And that was pretty much my life for, you know, 3-4 years. Got another place, did the same thing, just a little bit bigger, but still at home. And obviously now in this space, very, very different world for me in terms of like the people that I'm with, that I'm training, the sort of service that I offer, and obviously the environment, you know, and also the sort of coach that I am. You know, that's obviously shifted a lot. It's actually quite funny. Like I remember I asked you about I could find the old podcast that we did together at my place. And I was watching some of it and I was like, oh my God, I'm so glad I've evolved from this point. You know, just like,
why? What was in there?
Oh, it's just like, there's so many things that even my confidence and like who I was back then is just, it feels very different, you know? And like, I feel like it was a long time ago. It was like 4 years ago or something now.
Wow.
But it's just crazy how much like I've evolved as a person, but also as a coach as well. And like, I don't know if you get this, but I look back at the way I used to train old clients and I'm like, oh my God, I just want to delete this from my memory.
I have this thing in my mind where it's like, I want to be like every 6 months, if I look back at the 6-month-old Mitch and I'm not unrecognizable, like I'm not working hard enough.
Yeah.
Oh, yes. And I can like, it's so crazy because it's that paradox of, it's like when you go to get a job and you're like, hey, can I just be a waiter here?
Mm.
And they go, oh yeah, have you got experience being a waiter? And you go, well, no, that's why I want to get here and I get you and I get the experience. No, you need the experience first. It's like, well, how do I get to that point if I'm not there?
Exactly.
But it's just, you just got to do it, right?
Yeah.
So I think, and I get caught up on that, and it's a lot of people I talk to in sort of more of the mindset space, and you would have this too, is people get anxious about the future and depressed about the past, and they get stuck in their head and they're not living in their heart in the present moment and just sort of taking action towards things that they actually want to grow and inspire them. Because you were saying it before, when you were like super inspired, like, oh, I've got my PT, you know, diploma of fitness, awesome, let's go. Like, How weird are you doing with the polymer? You're like, oh, wow, I got it. You're like, bro, that's like nothing, right?
I but it's nothing.
At that time, it was everything. Mm. And you're inspired and you're going to get clients. And it's like that prospect of having a fully booked week is like, you can't even like fathom. You're like, imagine if I could do it, all these, and then you get it and you're like, oh, I've kind of outgrown this.
Yeah, exactly.
And I don't think it's like a snake that sheds its skin. It's like you, it not just be okay with letting go, but like loving that process and embracing that process, which was what I was saying to you before, is like, I love how you're constantly like shedding those old layers and growing into, because if you don't shed the old, you don't actually have the opportunity to look back and cringe at your old self. Because you should be, if you're not looking back and cringing at yourself, like,
you're not growing enough.
You're not growing.
Yeah, and I love that. Man. Yeah. I love that. Like, looking back 6 months and not even knowing who you were, I think that's goals, really, you know. And you're not a completely different person, but just the way that you've evolved and refined your thinking and the way that you communicate and the way that you act and the things that you do on a daily basis, you know, if you're not evolving from that point, you're not doing enough.
Yeah.
If you look back, you know, 2 years ago, you're the same person, you're doing the same shit, still unhappy. It's time to change.
So what, have you ever had one of those moments?
Yeah.
What was that like?
I actually had that moment last year. So been doing, you know, working at home for the last, you know, 5 years up until this point, five years. And I hit a point where I was like, I am just not that happy. Like I'm, you know, getting quite comfortable, getting caught up in, you know, doing what I'm doing, and I'm comfortable doing my 20 hours a week and posting on social media three times a week and doing whatever. But at that point, I went on this journey. This is a bit of a side story, something we can talk about later, but I went on this kind of side journey where I started looking to become a professional gamer for a while.
Yeah.
And that became a big focus of mine. JMPT was always like a focus, but I had this other side which would take up a lot of my time. You know, 5 days a week. As soon as I jumped off PT sessions at night, I jumped straight on and play for 3 hours with my team, practice, and then doing tournaments on weekends and do all these sort of things. And that took me massively away from my training. It took me massively away from my business, from my clients, from all of that stuff, mindset work. And I realized that I was too comfortable because of that. I was too comfortable gaming and getting the enjoyment out of that, but I'd actually fallen away from the bigger picture, which was I wanted to become successful. I wanted to, you know, build a life for myself and Brooke, my partner, to, you know, that we can create for our kids and that sort of thing. And I was going down this track of like, I want to become this professional gamer, which is cool and fine. But I lost what I was, the reason why I became a PT and moved up to Mount Barker and started the studio in the first place, which was to build this life for ourselves, you know? Mm-hmm. And I had to have like this snap realization. It was actually when I was doing a course, like a mindset course.
Which one?
It's called Set the Standard now, but it used to be called Overcome the Chaos with Corey Boutwell. Very, very good.
Boutwell.
Yeah.
Okay.
So very, very good guy. And started doing his course. It's like a men's only business, mindset, health sort of course.
Okay.
And I was like, I realized that I've gotten so complacent, and gaming has been a big part of that, but also my complacency with my own training.
Yeah.
Like I just fell out of love with it. Complacency with my business, because it was just doing its thing and I was, you know, it was earning me enough money and I was just kind of chipping away, living life. But I stopped pushing the boundaries, you know? And I was like, hang on a sec, in the last year, I've achieved nothing. Like I look back and I was like, I haven't changed the last year. I'm the same.
Yeah.
If the business is the same. You know, I'm at the same level of like with my training, like my body is the same, if not worse.
Yeah.
You know, my fitness is still okay, but nothing crazy. And you were actually saying this before, you lost the thing that you would, that got you successful in the first place.
Yeah.
And I realized that massively when I was doing this course and doing this exercise, I was like, holy shit, I've like stopped growing completely.
Yeah.
You know, and I was like, wow, I really need to, something needs to change. And I realized I'd lost all of that success that got me to where I was, all the stuff I was doing, like when I was up here, in that 3 months that I was building the business, even more longer than that, I was walking around to businesses and talking to people in their shops. And
it's crazy. You know,
dropping, door knocking, like heaps of stuff like that.
Yeah.
Talking to people, trying to get people on. I lost that push. Like I was doing seminars. I was, you know, getting myself out there in the community heaps more. Stopped doing that. Stopped like pushing my own body to like what I could achieve and how I could look and, you know, doing powerlifting competitions and constantly trying to push the bar up. I stopped doing all of that. I just got super complacent. And it got to a point where the business kind of was like in like a lull. Like I really feel like I couldn't grow. I had no inspiration to post on social media. I was like, this is why. I was like, I've got complacent. I've got comfortable and I've stopped working on myself.
Yeah.
I was like, what needs to change? I need to work on myself. So what are the things I need to do? So I had a massive re-goal setting, refocus end of last year and just got really crystal clear on what I wanted to do. And after that, it was like a few weeks and I bought this place. I was like, let's go. This is the change I need to make. And I quit my gaming team and I was like, nah, that's it. That needs to go. This is a distraction to what I really want.
Yeah.
And quit that and now put all my time and energy into this. And now that inspiration to, you know, to not only help my clients and build this up and that sort of thing, but also inspiration to train myself and become better and look better and challenge myself. I'm super, super driven in that area now, you know? So now I feel heaps more fulfilled in all my areas of life because I made those changes, you know? But it took that snap point where I was like, I'm comfortable. I'm complacent. I've let myself go and being really honest with myself that I did that. And that was kind of hard to come to terms with in a way, but I was like, this is reflecting not only on me, but on my clients.
Yeah.
You know, and the way that I, cause dude, I used to do like photo shoots regularly, like trying to get myself into a lean state. Like you've seen a lot of my photos and stuff that I've done. I constantly push myself and then that would inspire others.
I think that's my phone wallpaper.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What? Oh, me? Yeah, I did see that. I didn't want to say anything. So that comfortability, that comfort came in for me massively. And yeah, I definitely lost sight of kind of who I was and what made me who I was.
What? I mean, this might be a bit of a silly question. What was hard? Because everything you just described, it sounded like it was already hard.
Mm.
So what made it hard to take action and do those things? Like what fears and emotions were coming up that you needed to face in order to go for this gym and go for it and quit the gaming team and that sort of thing?
I think it was coming to terms with one, that I was being lazy, like going, no, you've actually just let the ball drop and not making excuses for it.
Sort of admitting to yourself, you fucked up, bro.
Yeah.
You're not.
Like you haven't been putting in the work.
Yeah.
You've let yourself go and you've been making excuses for it.
Dude, that's so confronting.
Yeah.
When you have to say to yourself, like I say that to me, like, bro, you've been fucking slacking.
Yeah.
You, like, come on.
And a lot of people struggle to do that.
Yeah.
You know, people struggle
especially with their health.
Yeah. Oh, dude, I was saying this in a post the other day. I'm like, people make so many excuses when it comes to their health. You know, it's just wild, but it lets us off the hook.
Yeah.
Like, I get why people do it, because they go, oh, but I've had this, 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 and this on. Oh, that gets you off the hook. Oh, yeah, that is pretty busy, actually, someone will say, you know. But when you're honest and you go, no, actually, I've been eating shit on Saturdays and Sundays and binging, and I've been pretending that I've been eating well. And that's why I'm not getting anywhere.
Wow.
You know, and saying that to yourself and going, actually, I've been doing some tendencies that have made me put on weight.
Yeah.
People aren't ready to admit that. You know, but what they don't understand is admitting that is going to be the thing that then pushes them forward.
Yeah.
You know, because then they're like, oh, this is where I fucked up. These are the things I need to change to move forward. You know, so there are a lot of excuses around people's health. And I've heard them all.
You would have
well. And there's and I'm just like, when people say, I'm like, yeah, no, I can see straight. So. Yeah, for a lot of people out there, you've got to be really honest with yourself.
Yeah.
You know, you've got to be super honest in terms of what needs to change, what you're currently doing wrong, and like, really, are you being that healthy? Are you doing the things that you need to do to get to where you are? Most people, 90% of people, no.
Yeah.
You know? So, yeah, it is, it's a challenging one.
I think the harshest truth is what your life actually demonstrates. You know, DeMartini talks about that with the values, is your life demonstrates what you value. So if someone says, oh no, yeah, I'm a healthy person, but their life demonstrates Uber Eats, staying up late, never walking, bro, you don't, just admit that you've been doing other things. And I'm listening that same, I'll probably link that this podcast thing to you because that other thing resonated, but it was Ryan Holiday. So he's the Daily Stoic. He's written a bunch of like...
Another one?
The Courage...
Courage to Be Disliked? No.
No. The Obstacle is the Way and something on courage and discipline and all these kind of things. And he says that one of the guy interviewing Tom Segura, he was like, bro, you're so disciplined with reading books and like you're running and all this kind of thing. And he goes, no. I actually have to be disciplined to like stop myself.
Yeah.
Because I would do too much of it.
Yeah.
So I need to be disciplined to fucking not do it.
Yeah.
And I think it's that shift in mindset of like, I'm not going to force myself to do anything. I'm just going to have an honest look at who I am and what my life demonstrates and what are the things in my life that made me most fulfilled. And for you, it's clearly the growth. When you stop growing, it just, you just fucking shrivel up inside and you're just like, I don't want anyone to see me. I'm going to do my gaming.
Just hide away from the world.
Yeah.
Then everything else is just like burning around me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Were you getting enjoyment? Like, what was the satisfaction and enjoyment you were getting from the gaming?
It was a lot, man. And I still...
Because you obviously value it.
I value it highly. I have for a very long time. Yeah, it's been in my top values for a long time. And it was something that I got into because, like, I literally bought a PC so I could play this game. Because I saw it come out. I was like, oh my God, I had hype around it for like a year. And I never really get like that around games, that sort of game. And I was like, this is my game. I was like, if I could go pro in it, I would. And when it came out, I said to Brooke and I had these business chats. And I said, you know, she's like, because I was stuck at this point. This was like 3 years ago. And I was like, I'm not really enjoying it. Like, this is points where I've gone through stages of actually jumping on Seek and looking for jobs.
Wow, really?
I in my jobs.
No way.
Yeah, so there's been periods, definitely been a lot of periods where I've been like questioning what I'm doing and that sort of thing. But all it comes back to is growth.
Yeah.
Because I'm not learning. I'm just stagnant.
And you're not like, dude, that was so cool. You're like, I was going around to businesses, I was door knocking, I was doing seminars. Like, whoa, this dude's inspired. Yeah, I was working with coaches,
doing all this stuff, and constantly doing this. And then once now I know when I start questioning what I'm doing and I'm not loving it, it means I'm not growing. It means I'm not learning new stuff. If I'm doing the same stuff with people, I just get bored as.
So,
I need to constantly upgrade, otherwise I start questioning.
Dude.
So that's my pattern, massively. So I'm very aware of it now that I do it. And so then, going back, this was a bit of a stage where I was having one of those moments where I was questioning, and Brooke's like, you know, what do you want to do? What would be ideal? I was like, look, if I could choose anything, she's like, it could be anything at all. I was like, I want to get pro in Valorant.
She's giving you the mindset questions. Yeah.
And she's like, I was like, I want to become a professional gamer.
Right, okay.
Because I loved it. And it was like my game. And I was like, if I could do that, that would be my goal. She's like, we'll do it then. And I'm like, what do you mean? I was like, I can't do that. That's stupid. She's like, no.
Wow.
What do you need to do tomorrow to get yourself into a position where you can start working towards that?
Hell yeah.
But she's great, like that.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I just laughed at her. I was like, it's not going to happen. Like, these guys are like next level. I was like, I'm not, I've played a PC for 6 months. I was like, these guys have been playing it since they could hold a freaking mouse.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Because I used to play PlayStation and stuff, so very different. And she's like, no, look it up now. Give me your phone. Let's have a look. And like, have a look at her like teams and how you get into it and that sort of thing. Anyway, so I started playing, and then within the next couple of weeks, I found myself talking to an organization, and they brought me into their team. And I started playing.
Wow.
Now, massive imposter syndrome. I was the worst player in the team, but I somehow, at that time again, I was learning so much and getting better at the game really fast because I was putting all my time into it. And then the team that I was in, the organization I was in, the our team manager / our in-game leader packed up and left.
Right.
Thrown a massive PC fit, left.
Yeah.
And he said, you can be in-game leader, you can lead the team. And I was like, sorry, what? I was like, I've only been playing this game for what? How long? I know nothing. And I just fell into this role and I was like, no, let's do it. Let's take it on. And so I took on this challenge of leading a team and building a team. And that required a lot more than I thought it was going to be. Because it's not just leading the team in game and doing call outs. It's also being a good player myself, but also learning strats and like getting hiring coaches. Dude. There was this whole area that I then delved into, and I dug into that for the next year. Like, just lost myself in that. And we became really successful as a team. We became one of the best.
So you were professional for over a year.
Yeah.
And what'd you say? One of the best in Australia?
Yeah, one of the best teams in Australia. Yeah.
Shit.
So at one point we were a top 10 team. And absolutely, it was awesome. It was so much fun. And there's the growth aspect was awesome, you know? But that was, once I was doing it for a certain period of time, everything around me obviously started to decline. Mm. You know, you can't, Justin Wiseman, very wise man. Yeah. He gave me this analogy because I did a lot of coaching with him, but he said, you can't, and I always use this, in a crane can only build one building at a time.
Yeah.
It can't build multiple buildings at a time. Put one thing on and stack it up, can only do one thing at a time. He's like, your crane's always in gaming and everything else is still down here.
Mm.
You need to still build those up if you wanted to do it, but it's not going to happen at the same time. Because in my head, I was like, my business is kind of going down here, blah, blah, blah. How do I juggle all of this? I couldn't, you know? So anyway, sidetrack. But yeah, so lost myself in that gaming and loved it then. Absolutely loved it. And going back to your question, what did it give me? It was being able to build a team of guys that I could have that competitive environment with. Like, I'm a super competitive person, as you are. It gave me that edge because it's such a competitive game. And the want for more, like, hey, I can, like we were talking about earlier,
yeah,
we can improve. If you found this little bit of improvement that you need to focus on, it's like all in on that, you know? And like, oh my God, if there's this thing I can tweak that'll make us better, then we're going to do that.
Yeah.
And that's what it gave me. It just gave me this fuel just to just constantly get better and better because the skill ceiling was so freaking high, you know? Like, there wasn't like it was a very hard game and there's so many variables in it that you can just keep better and better and just keep dialing it in more. So it became an addiction. And I actually used to hate using that word, but I really realized this last year that I was like addicted to that. And like we were talking about before with golf.
Yeah.
You know, you find that thing that you love that you know that you can get better at and that you want to get better at, and then you just can't stay away from it. You're just like, I just have to get better. I just have to put all this time and effort in, and you just like obsess over it. You watch all the videos, go out on the golf course every week, every day, practice your swing, and you're constantly trying to dial it in to the point of obsession.
To the point, because I did the same thing with golf, to the point where the other areas of your life kind of fade out.
Correct.
And you stop seeing the importance of actually utilizing and integrating them. Because you just think, oh, well, if I want to get better at gaming, I game. You don't think, if I want to get better at gaming, I hang out with my partner or I go to the gym.
Yeah.
But I think when you're... So my definition of addiction is when you perceive that you have a pleasure without a pain.
Yeah, yeah.
So if you think you have a pleasure and it's separated from a pain... So credit cards. Yes, I would like to buy this car, please. Put it on the card. Have it now and then pay it later. Mm. So you're getting pleasure without the pain. You're delaying the pain. Mm. So what was the fantasy, if I might ask you, get into your brain, the fantasy you had about being a professional gamer?
Mm.
What was...
Because I see it, and that's one of the reasons why I left, because I saw it as a fantasy. I had that realization that it was a fantasy. But it was, where did it come
from? Like, where did it come from? And what did you felt you weren't good enough? You felt it was... Like, what exactly was the fantasy?
Oh, okay. Not actually starting in the first place or thinking that I was like, oh, I'm never going to do that. Is that what you mean?
Like, you're top 10 in Australia.
Yeah.
What's the fantasy? And you're addicted to it, right?
Mm.
What's the fantasy of the pleasure you're getting out of without the pain?
I think it was believing that we could become a number one team.
Right. Okay. Gotcha.
You know,
gotcha.
When in realistic terms, that was never going to happen.
You were like, what's another sport? It's like there's Federer and Nadal, Djokovic. You've been playing tennis for a year and you're like, yeah, I'm going to be number one in the world. You're
same
like,
sort of thing. Yeah.
I mean, he can be good.
Yeah, but not
that
good.
But beating Djokovic, Nadal and Federer and...
Being in that top three is a whole other level.
Yeah.
And I got caught in that too, massively.
Right, okay.
You know, and I was like, and I think the worst thing was like, I was convincing myself of it as well, that I could do it.
Yeah.
Now, I knew that I was one of the best, like, leaders, most organized people in the industry, like, in around the teams that I was working with, because I'm business-minded, like, and I'm working with, like, I'm competing with guys that are, like, you know, 20 years old that are trying to organize teams, and I'm almost 30, and I've just got that experience of being able to lead people. They didn't have that. So I had that upper hand.
Right.
But I'm almost 30 years old. So my reaction time and my ability to learn and adapt compared to, like, these 18-year-olds.
Yeah, that literally 16 hours a day.
Yeah, you know, and just so much more time into it invested, and they're at an age where they can learn so much better and adapt so much better, especially when it's a game that's based on reaction time, essentially.
Yeah.
They're going to be much quicker. But in my head, I was like, well, I can just lead a team to that and we can just get better. But you can work as hard as you can, but you've got really talented people that then work hard as well. It's going to be so hard to beat. Yeah. Well, you've got people that have been playing those sort of games like Counter-Strike and that sort of thing leading up to that point that have had, you know, five to 8 years more experience than you in that area, and you're 2 years in, they're so much more ahead of you.
Yeah.
And it wasn't like I'm just going to give up on my goal. Because if I'd kept pursuing it, I know I could have gone a little bit further, but I would never get to that fantasy, which was a top team playing on a stage, that sort of thing, you know?
Yeah, you can't get to a fantasy. It's a fantasy.
Mm, exactly. Yeah. And I tried to convince myself that it was real, you know, and that I could definitely get there, and that I was going to get there. But when I saw everything around me kind of fall apart, I realized I lost sight of that, what was important.
Mm.
And that was creating that life, you know, for myself and for Brooke and, you know, helping people. Like, going back to my purpose, like, helping people achieve what they didn't think was possible. You know, I lost sight of that because I was so dialed in on myself and that competitive aspect of sport and team environments, you know. So, you know, in saying all that, I love it. I still love it, but I had to...
And you're going
to
go back to it eventually.
I will go back to it eventually, but more of a casual side of things. not as intense. but I will go back to it because I love it. And it's in my values. Like, it's like... And I still, like... But they've got the world stage on at the moment, and I'll tune in, I'll jump on in the morning and I'll watch it. Because it's just... it's awesome to see.
Yeah.
But in this present time, I see it as a fantasy, and I see it as a distraction.
Mm-hmm.
And I need to use... take away that time to focus on what's important or what's more important right now.
Mm. So for people listening, I define again, it's all about me, Jack.
Yeah.
I define fantasy as seeing something with more benefits than drawbacks.
Yeah.
So I ask, someone comes up to you on the street and they say, wow, Jack, you've got like this sick business. Wow, must be easy. You've got it. You've got the dream. You go, your head's like, do you how much fucking work I've put in, like, you got no idea, like, but they just see more benefit than drawback.
Correct.
Right?
They see the front end of it.
Yeah, but if you actually love something and you're challenging yourself and you're pushing the boundaries and you're growing, you see the benefit and the drawback at the same time.
Correct.
You're like, yeah, I'm going to do a social media post, but it's taking time out of my day, which is a drawback, but the benefit I get to it. But it's managing the benefits and the drawbacks, the support and the challenge, because again, all about me. I believe that the yin and the yang, it's the law of contrast, masculine and feminine. Mm-hmm. There is two sides to everything. Every human, every atom, every star in the universe, it's all two-sided. And if you are, and it's not, I want to kind of say and give people listening a bit of an insight, a bit of wisdom, I might call it, that fantasies and addictions are not bad. We're only using that label to understand it and to dissect it and to get in there, reflect on it and learn from it. So we're all filled with fantasy and illusion and addictive behaviors, but those are the things that make us who we are. And when you can be real with yourself and say, what fantasies do I have now? Because as soon as you have a moment of love, you transcend your current judgments and you evolve as a person, and then you go to another judgment. We're always judging something, unless we're sitting in a dark cave meditating for an entire life and we're in some sort of enlightened present state, which is not real. Unless we just completely get rid of all of our senses, we're going to be judging something. We need a judge. We're going to have fantasies, but it's helping us.
Correct.
So what is it like now for you being in that sort of growth phase? And where are you going now with the gym? Where do you want to go and take it?
So
in your business.
So being in the growth phase, I feel like I'm more inspired to do more. Mm. There's more taking action. There's more inspiration driven work. There's like lots of ideas flowing to me, that sort of thing. You know, instead of when I'm not, there's that stuff's not coming in.
Dude, that's such a clear sign for me is when my head, I'm getting tons of ideas and like, oh, that's a quote. That's the thing I want to do. I'm like, yeah, that's it.
Yeah, so that's when you know you're in the right spot.
You're in the zone. Yeah.
And you've got all these ideas that are flowing to you, new cool things that are coming to you. Like at the moment, like I'm building a health performance course, you know, like for like helping people how to eat better, sleep better, just take, improve their habits. So
no way.
I've started that and it's going to be a big project, but that's a really big one. So when I was really driven last year, when I've got all clear on the stuff that we're talking about earlier, that was one of the big things. So that's part of being inspired at the moment, that growth phase is building this out. And this is kind of going to be my next big thing. So that's definitely one big thing that I'm taking into the journey with this gym. Okay. Because yes, it's a gym. Yes, it's a strength training gym. Really specialize hard in that, but I also want to create other elements where I can help people in other areas of their life. You know, like, yes, strength training gives you that ability to build resilience and learn a lot from yourself and, you know, push your boundaries and all that sort of stuff. But it's like, okay, I want to help people more in like who they are in their life, in their health generally, you know, not just in the gym, but I want to be able to help them outside of the gym. How can I do that? Work with them to help them understand their health better and simplify the hell out of it. You know, because we've got all the information in the world. You can go on Google and you can learn everything, right? You jump on social media, it's just learning, content everywhere, right? We've got an abundance of content. I want to simplify all the stuff that I've learned over the years, all my experience with people, and pack it into a shorter course, working in a group setting with people that I can help people on a greater level, you know? So that's definitely one thing that I'm taking the gym to.
Yeah.
And that's going to be quite a specialized area. And I guess I see that as a new phase of the business. You know, it's not going to be the big focus, but it's going to be a part, another arm, let's say. I want to take this to more people, as in I want to take the gym to more people. So I want to start doing, you know, a few more people in the sessions. Like I've just upped it to 6 people per class. You know, I want to take it to maybe 8 and probably leave it at that. I don't ever want to become a big group fitness gym.
Yeah.
That's one thing I despise, is 20 people in a session.
Dude, I hear horror stories.
Yeah.
Horror.
Same.
Like, oh.
Yeah, I've trained a couple of PTs that have worked in that field. They've told me some shit, for sure. And just
share it.
Let
the people know. The people need to hear it.
Oh, there's heaps of stuff that happens. This unsupervised stuff and getting away with terrible form and people hurting themselves and just letting people do what they're not quite ready to do that ends up smashing down people's confidence and puts them off training completely. There's numerous stuff that we can talk about. But I never want to become that. You know, and I think in my head, and this is something that I've always said, is like, yes, this sort of model I can take to a greater level. Like I could, you know, franchise it and turn it into something if I wanted to become really businessy, but I don't want to do that. You know, like I love helping people on a personal level, I love connecting with people. I want to keep it still intimate where I can create a safe environment that people can rock up and, you know, train together in a group, but also feel like it's not this overwhelming environment they have to go to like they do in a big group fitness setting. You go in a big group with 20 people, it's like, you get people and you get little clicky little groups of people within that. I don't want it to ever be that, you know? So yes, I would like to help more people, but there's definitely a level for me where I want to go where it's like, no, I want to cut it off at, let's say in this case, I want to cut it off at 8 people, you know? As well as that, I think I really want to bring someone on towards the end of the year, another coach to assist and create better value, and also for me to teach them as well. You know, like I love mentoring, I love teaching people, especially people that are new in the industry.
Like it's your team, mate.
Yeah.
Just like in the gaming.
Exactly the same. You know, yeah. I love that. And I get so, when I start teaching people, I'm like, you know, like,
oh my God.
I love it, man. So it's definitely something that I know there's a future in there somewhere. But I would love to bring someone on to mentor them and teach them everything I know and be able to mix them with my clients to create, you know, be cool to have like, you know, 8 people in here and have 2 trainers. I think that would be super cool. And working with that just to create just a whole other level. So that's probably down the track further, but definitely something I really want to work towards. You know, other cool little ideas and stuff, like I want to do a lifting comp within this community, like with just us, like all my clients and stuff, just all the members just come in and do a little lifting comp. Nothing crazy, but just a bit of fun. You know, stuff like that. I want to run little community events, and like we're doing True Grit in 2 months, like as a team. So stuff like that. I want to just do real community focused stuff and give people as much as I can, as much as my knowledge, and create as much of a community where people feel like they can connect with other people and really feel like themselves and feel like they're not going to this place where they're like, I'm not sure about this, and it's just a place to train.
Yeah.
I want people to walk in and feel like home, and that's really what I want to create with this gym moving into this year, man. So yeah, got some cool things lined up.
Inspiring.
Because I love it, and I want to keep giving it to more people. So
hell yeah. Final question. I've been going for 3 hours or something. What is something that's overcomplicated in health?
Yep.
And how do you simplify it?
Whoa. Overcomplicated.
Yep.
Look, honestly, it's probably nutrition.
Yep.
Yeah. I think nutrition is overcomplicated. I think people overcomplicate it. Even with the whole idea of, you know, calories in, calories out, that's simple, right? That's still complex for people to understand because people don't really understand how much energy is in things. And when they count it, that's complex in itself. Like going to MyFitnessPal and tracking it all, it's like that itself is a massive effort.
I don't think people understand the consequence of committing to... I'm going to count my calories.
Mm.
Do you know what you're actually doing right now?
Yeah.
That's the definition of I'm going to count my calories. I'm going to get all the benefits. There's going to be no drawbacks to counting my calories.
It's like you go down that path and it's just like this, it could go so many different ways, you know? And I think that there's so many diets, there's so much information, what to eat, what not to eat, chemicals in this, chemicals in that. There's so much to think about, and people just go too hard basket. I'm just gonna eat whatever the hell I want.
Yeah.
You know? But if we want to simplify it, I think it's like just stop eating shit is really the most simplest form, right? Because for the majority of people, if you just eat literally anyone listening to this podcast, anyone, if you just stop eating stuff, drinking alcohol, like the crap food, right? Just what you see as crap food. Lollies, chips, snacks, all that sort of stuff, right? Bad food, fast food, that sort of stuff. And you just ate good food, like good quality food, fruit and veg, meats, you know, if you're veggie or vegetarian, those sort of sources as well, obviously. And you just ate those consistently, you would get the results that you want. You don't have to track and do all this sort of stuff because naturally, by the way that you eat and the sort of amounts that you eat, naturally your body's going to figure that out for you and go, okay, I'm full now. Yes, okay, I'm hungry now. Well, your body's going to tell you everything. You don't need to track and do all this sort of stuff, you know, to get there. You know, and I feel like if people just stop eating the stuff, and there's obviously reasons why people binge and eat those sort of crap foods, it's all within us. Our body tells us everything. And I think if you really listen to that and really understand that that's where you can get all your knowledge from, then you can achieve anything, you know? And this is one big, big thing that I want to teach within my course is like simplify the hell out of it.
Mm.
Like, yes, understand the science and how the body works and how calories in and calories out works. But it's like, how can I put this into my everyday life? Because for most people that live a really busy life or, you know, have just got other big focuses, got families, got young kids, they don't want to track their calories. They don't want to do their macros. They don't want to do this diet and have to log everything. They just want to be able to go, all right, I just want to eat this food and be good. And I know that this is a good meal for me, you know? And I think once you can look at it like that, you're going to get any result, okay? I think we overcomplicate massively in this industry to go, this is right, this is wrong, do this, do that. People have got the information they need. They just need to literally just cut the crap out, be really honest with ourselves, like we're talking about earlier.
Stop being complacent.
Yeah. Don't give excuses to yourself.
Yeah.
Put yourself out there and go, okay, yep, I've been eating like shit. How do I stop it? Stop eating like shit. It's a really wild concept. but I think that's probably the biggest thing in health is like, to simplify the hell out of nutrition.
Yeah.
Like, what do you see as good food? That's probably where you need to focus your energy. No, eat good food.
Wow. Where can people find you?
Probably the best place is, well, you can hit me up on my website now because I've got a website, jmpt.com.au. But probably the best place is my Instagram. So you find me at jack_jnpt. Always down for a chat. If you enjoyed the podcast as well, you know, and there's certain points that you want to talk about, send me a voice note. I'm always down for a chat.
He responds to every message.
Yes, absolutely. So I'm always down for your experiences, what you might have taken away from this, anything like that.
Please let us know your questions, comments, feedback, and we'll get him back with his next upgraded gym. Thanks for coming on, mate.
No worries, man. Good to see you, man.
And thank you, everyone, for listening.
Thanks, guys.